Thank you for tuning in to Franchise Euphoria, 10 plus years running strong. I'm Josh Brown, founder and host, and by day I'm a franchise lawyer, but in my spare time, I love meeting and speaking with people in and around the franchise world. And that's what this podcast is all about. We talk with franchisees, we talk with franchisors, and we talk with those who help both franchisees and franchisors with their businesses. So you can take a little bit from their experiences and apply it to your own. Enjoy. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. I'm thrilled today to have Darden Coors on, who is the CEO of a franchise system called Salad Collective. Welcome, Darden. How are you?
I'm well, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of interesting people over the last 10 years, and you certainly fit in that category with your background and also tying into obviously franchising. So take a minute here. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into franchising and what kind of led up to it.
Sure. I went to law school, so I'm with you. I'm a lawyer, maybe a little more reformed than you. No, just kidding.
We just got sucked into it, didn't we? Sucked into it.
But enjoyed my law career. I did real estate law and then went in-house and did really transactional law, just about anything with a contract. And really enjoyed that. And as part of my career path, I ended up at Einstein Noah Restaurant Group in the legal department there. And that's where I kind of got the taste for restaurants and got to do, you know, distribution contracts and supply contracts and leases. And we were just starting to franchise there. And we had a couple brands that were already franchised. So I got to learn franchising back then and always thought that that was a good model. And as long as you could be patient and do it the right way, I think like you like to advocate for. And so I went back into in-house with manufacturing and got the opportunity to get back into restaurants about 5 years later and really got into the healthy segment kind of by happenstance. But we were looking at restaurants and my cousin came across the founder of Mad Greens on an airplane and they were looking for capital and we were looking to get into the space. So we worked out a deal and we were their majority partner and brought in some capital and really started to grow the brand throughout Colorado and beyond. So we really started the expansion with the idea of we wanted a concept that we could prove out and really would work more than just in the home state. And I thought that was important. If you're going to eventually ask franchisees to buy in your system, have you grown into a new market? Does it work? Is it received by the customers there as well as the home market? So we expanded into Arizona and Texas and still operate there. And it's been a really fantastic journey. So I sort of left the legal field and went into more of the executive role. And I'd never had responsibility for, P&L and making money. And it was a really good learning experience and great executive experience that I didn't have just as a lawyer.
So, Darden, make me feel better about myself and tell me how much you miss the practice of law.
I'd love to. I think the fun thing, I do miss in-house a little bit, but I get that here. I do our contracts and stuff here. But I like the idea of being a lawyer and working with the client the whole way through a thing. And I miss that about private practice. So.
Well, it crosses over, too. I mean, I imagine even skills that, there's skills that you have that cross over into business, of course. But I imagine there's things where you may not even think of it, but to other people, you bring a tremendous skill set having that legal background.
I think it's a unique perspective for sure. I would say sometimes I overthink like lawyers can do. And I think that's well balanced with my team of, restaurant operators are fast, fast, fast. Everything is now. And I'm a little bit more, let's pause, let's think through all the pluses and minuses. And I think we found a really nice marriage of the ops, go, go, go. And me as a leader being a little bit more methodical and found the balance, I guess, sometimes one side wins more than others. And I like to be pushed to be a little faster, a little more risk taker, and then they need a little temperament too on, okay, let's think about the long-term implications.
Well, it's interesting because obviously with your last name and you're, you know, part of the Coors family, I'm sure it's, you know, gathered a lot of attention for you over the years. But little did you know, getting into the restaurant space, your first name's gonna get a lot of attention now.
I get more about my first name than my last name. Yes. I remember when I was at Einstein's learning for the first time that there was this group called Darden Restaurants, and I immediately bought the stock because that was, I'm one of those kids who never had a pencil with her name on it, or let alone a keychain or a necklace or whatever. So, so I bought stock with my name and enjoyed that. So, yeah, it's been fun. And with the Coors family, you know, we're with the beer side, we've been in restaurants, working with retailers, you know, forever. So, it's kind of fun to be tied in with both my names.
Well, you have such a unique background for that, because I got to imagine, I mean, did you work, you know, as you were growing up and you know, young adulthood, did you work in different capacities with Coors and tying in onto the retail side to kind of give you a sense of, you know, how some of these, you know, restaurants were being operated, not necessarily the intricacies of it, but certainly tying into vendors and tying into, you know, product and sales and distribution and all those things that are super important in franchise.
Yes, I think I gave tours at the brewery when I was a young woman. But growing up, you always know about the great relationships with the farmers, you know, from growing the barley and the hops and the partnerships and the long term and the generations of family relationships there with the distributors who are so valuable, and then the retailers, and, you know, we'd go into convenience stores or grocery stores and make sure all the labels faced out and make sure you're getting all the good product placement. It was certainly great exposure from an early on age of understanding what it is to be a consumer facing brand.
Well, and so now you flash forward and you got Salad Collective, and you talked a little bit about Mad Greens, and now you've also got Tokyo Joe's. Right. Mm-hmm. And Snappy Salads. And between, I think, the three of them, around what, 60 some locations?
65 locations. 60. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that been like working with three independent brands that are also part of a collective?
I think it's pretty fascinating, because they all have their own unique personality, their own consumers, their own messaging. And you really do learn a lot. I think the first edition we had was Snappy Salads, and you think, well, it's a salad place. It should be pretty similar, but it's not. You know, their operations model is different. They have proteins cooked to order. So they have a saute position that we never had at Mad Greens, and a consumer demographic that's slightly different, and certainly a new city that we weren't exposed to before. And then you add on Tokyo Joe's, which is sort of healthy on the Asian side of things, with teriyaki bowls and sushi and poke bowls and stuff. And so now we're dealing with raw fish and other sort of things that we had never had to really train on before and understand fully, and on the kitchen side of things. So it's really good learning. And then it spurs the creativity of, oh, we do it that way there. Is that something we can take and build on? Or they do it that way, it wouldn't work in this concept, but conceptually, how do we take that? You know, how do we take a blackened salmon cooked to order on Snappy Salads and translate that into Mad Greens, because the customer is seeking something similar.
Well, and the timing of it is good. I mean, we're seeing an explosion of salad concepts, right? Or at least of healthy eating options. Yes. And I feel like they've gotten better over the years. I remember the iterations of them from several years past, and it sort of felt like, yeah, this is a first iteration of a quick service salad restaurant. But I feel like there's some things to learn here. And I feel like we've seen that over time, where these concepts learn upon each other. And now we're in sort of a heyday of this area where, you know, it's routine. Heck, I mean, right below my office is a salad place, and I have no qualms. I go down there and get my salad that I love and spend my $15 on on greens and happy about it and feel healthy about that. So I think the idea of this whole combining the healthy concept with the fresh, quick service has really gained a lot of traction across the country. And I'm sure you're seeing that.
We are. I think, you know, for the first time, you're seeing more of a national presence on the salad side. It used to be fairly regional or just, you know, you got your homegrown concept in the city that you're in. And now you're seeing concepts, you know, become more national. And so competition stepped up for sure, more direct. But I think that's really good for the marketplace, for exposure, and for the trends, certainly with consumers, of trying to eat healthier. And the idea of having a salad for lunch that has protein and good fats and vegetables really sets you up for success throughout the day. So I think there's wide appeal, and I think there's a reason there's some kind of explosion now. You know, we've been around for almost 20 years. It's our 20th year in business. So a little early on that front, and it's good to have people push you to improve and constantly get better and constantly understand what the guest needs are.
Well, it's a 20-year work in progress.
That's right. And we all are. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's interesting too, because with the three different brands within the Salad Collective, are you guys looking for a similar type of franchisee to come in, or how do you guys go about that process? So let me frame this a little bit. There are many different ways to get franchisees. We all know that. And there's a lot of concepts that will hire brokers, and they'll just go out and find as many people as they can and kind of see what sticks, who's got the money, sign you up, and you're off. That can work. I'm not really a fan of that way, you know, for my purposes. But I'm curious how you guys approach it with the three different brands.
We have taken the approach, you know, I want a franchisee to be a franchisee forever, or for the franchise to continue beyond the franchisee if they want to move on. So we've been really, I think, thoughtful, and maybe on the lawyer slow or thoughtful side of things, of really trying to find the right people and the right fit. So with the three brands, we're focused right now on Mad Greens. I think from a you know, build out and profitability and all of that perspective, that has the best, you know, it's our best offering. It's our best foot forward to enter market and be successful. And then Joe's is a fairly recent acquisition. Those are all company owned. And that franchising, we haven't set about to franchise that yet, trying to refine a few things, and then we'll go to market with that. But I think somebody looking to have multiple concepts in the same location or the same general vicinity, being able to offer two or three different concepts in the same market that are complementary can be very beneficial, you know. And certainly on the non-traditional side of licensing, we've gone to market with both concepts of Tokyo Joe's and a Mad Greens or a Snappy, and saying you can have, you know, the salad-centric concept alongside of this healthy Asian concept, and they're complementary and can appeal to the same customer who might just want a little variety.
And so with Mad Greens, do you also still operate corporate locations?
We do. They're all corporate locations right now. We have one licensed location in the Austin airport.
Okay.
So we don't have a franchise open yet. We are in late stages with several people, and excited about what 2024 will bring, and hopefully get our first franchisees going this year.
Well, I like that. I mean, the reason I ask is because, you know, there are a lot of concepts that just want to be 100% franchise. And I think there's a lot of merit to running the corporate locations, making sure you have the system down, you have the value down, you have the real proposition that you're setting out for the franchisees, bringing them in, but then also keeping and running corporate locations so that you can test out new menu items, you can test out new systems, you can test it out on the corporate side, and not test it out on the backs of the franchisees. And at the same time, also have a good sense for what's going on the ground, right? At the ground level, and see what kind of issues
that the franchisees are likely dealing with that you are dealing with as well on the corporate side?
Yes, I think maintaining that operation focus, I think we're operators at heart. So I think that will always be something that we do and we have. And again, you know, wanting a successful franchise system that works, I feel very strongly that you have to operate restaurants. You have to know what they're going through day in, day out, what they're going through with distributors, what they're going through with customers, you know, maintenance of, you know, what it costs to repair stuff and what it costs to build stuff. And so we plan to always have corporate stores. And I think, you know, the goal is 20%-ish. You know, right now it's 100 and it'll be a long time before we're 20. But having a good chunk, I know that's a different model than some. And it is kind of two different businesses. So, you know, I think that's why people tend to go one way or the other. But I think it's valuable, and that's our model.
Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, I think it can get challenging too. You know, a lot of people, even if they don't want a franchise comes and smacks them right in the face a little bit because they realize, oh my God, we're expanding. We got to hire more employees. We got to oversee all of that. And then somebody says, well, have you thought about franchising where, you know, you bring in the operator and then they hire the people, and it can seem really, really appealing, but if it's not done well, it can be disastrous, right? I mean, you know, I think that it's really important to be thoughtful about that. And I'm curious your thoughts, because when you're a franchisor, it's different than heading things up at a corporate level, right? I mean, it's a little bit of a different role. You're providing that support, but at the end of the day, you have to give enough leeway, enough opportunity for those individual franchisees to really operate it and do well. And then you, as the franchisor, as the corporate side of it, provide support, continue to improve on the product, improve on the delivery, improve on the technology, the value that you're adding to that system, but really kind of take a little bit of a step back. And sometimes that can be really hard for folks.
It will be an adjustment when we actually have it. And we have it with our license location already. It's in an airport, so it does have a different menu. It serves different day parts. The flow is slightly different. So I think it's really good balance. And I was probably more drawn to franchising post COVID. You know, you always have the idea of the local presence, understanding what's happening in that micro market, with all the different regulations that came up, and how employers were handling their employees differently in different markets, and what the expectations were locally, how you're working with your health departments, all of that stuff. So, I think that I'm more sold on franchising now than probably ever, and I love the idea. You know, while we want to maintain systems of being challenged by these entrepreneurs who are entrepreneurs, but within a system. And that's sort of the constant tension with franchising, right? Of they will bring new ideas to the table. And with a 20-year-old company, I think we kind of are at a point where we really welcome that challenge and that the new ideas, and they won't all work, but you know, okay, you can test them and we'll see if that's something that should work system-wide. And that what might work.
I mean, some of the best options, yes, menu options come from franchisees. I think, if I'm remembering this right, the Big Mac from McDonald's, yes, came right from a suggestion from a franchisee. And so there's this notion where, you know, oftentimes you have franchisors and franchisees battling each other. But really, if you can appreciate what each side brings and are open to that, you can gain a lot from franchisees, because at the end of the day, you know, the vast majority of them are investing a lot of their own personal money and a lot of times borrowed money. So they have a real vested interest, yes, to make sure it works. And so it can, if you really, as a franchisor, you know, can open up to that, there can be some great value adds that franchisees come up with, which is great. I mean, that's all part of the process, which is fantastic. And it sounds like you probably weren't gung-ho about franchising until COVID, until you really dove into a little bit more, which is how a lot of people are, honestly. But it's funny to me, because not funny, but it's interesting. if you really look at local businesses, and people will always say, you know, hey, I'm shopping local, right? I'm not dealing with any stinking franchise. I'm shopping right. local.
Yeah.
And I go, wait a minute. A franchise is the most local thing you have. It's literally an owner operator in that geographic location who lives there. And the vast majority of the money is staying there outside yeah. of the royalties and fees and other things that go back. When it's corporate, it's more, hey, most of the monies are going out of that location, you know, someplace else. But I just don't think people think about that. And then I always, you know, will tell people, as much as people say they shop local, stay away from franchises. If somebody goes to a sub shop that's, you know, just a local sub shop set up by somebody that may be great, if they don't get consistent good service and food, it's amazing how quickly they throw that out the window and go over to to another place where they yes. get the consistency and the systems and the good food, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right. No, I 100% agree with that. So we're excited about having these local businesses in these towns where the local owner is invested in the high school and the community center and all of those things, and can really tie in better to the community than we can from just one central location. So I'm super excited to get it off the ground and get it running and see these little ideas planted wherever they grow.
So if we talked a year or two from now, where would you like to be with all of this a year or two or now? As we kind of get to a close on this interview, you know, what do you see happening over the next couple of years, and what are you hoping for Salad Collective where you ultimately end up?
So we're going to lean into my conservative side a little bit. I think my goal is to have 30 plus franchise agreements signed, and hopefully most of those have one or two or three sort of with growth. And I think a year or two from now, many of those will be open, and we'll be expanding in existing markets. And then growing into new sort of adjacent markets. So we're not really looking to leap, many states away. I'd like to keep it central, where you kind of have a little bit of name recognition with adjacency and support of both franchisees and franchisors before we grow too far out and have a more robust system where we can go more nationally, but really focusing on the markets where we've had success and where we think we'll have success in that adjacency. So I think we'll be in probably four more states and have, 80 units-ish.
Well, I think that's great. I like the idea of really building it out regionally. I think that makes perfect sense distribution-wise, making sure you stay on top of the service, the product, all of that. Excuse me, I'm battling a cough here.
Oh, you're all right.
Yeah, I think that's great. Well, I know if people want to learn more about it, they can go to madgreens.com. They can go to madgreensfranchise.com. Is there any other place where you would direct people if they want to learn more about the different concepts?
We have a Salad Collective website, saladcollective.com, but that'll just, have links to tokyojoes.com and snappysalads.com as well. So all three brands are on there and up there. And well, we're not actively franchising the other ones, certainly. If you have interest, reach out and we'll be in touch and see where it goes.
Well, thank you, Darden, for spending a few minutes out of your day. I know it's valued time. I really appreciate you coming on here, and I think the listeners will gain some great value from it. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great talking with you.